Okay. So this is the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that covers the evolution of the Tkiyot HaShofar that we do nowadays. So the Gemara is going to go from the very, very basic rule of how many Tkiyot we have to have. And eventually, hopefully, we'll get somewhere close to our Minhag nowadays. I like to do this every year before Rosh Hashanah. At least myself, I like to do it just so that we, you know, have a sense of what we're doing on Rosh Hashanah and how the Minhag developed. So, the Mishnah and Lamed Gimel Amud Bet, we're going to do a little bit of Gemara, then we're going to skip a bunch and then finish off with a little bit more. So, the Mishnah says, Seder Tkiot Shalosh, Shal Shalosh, Shalosh. Okay? So, the Seder of the Tkiot is groups of three. Rashi is going to help us and he's going to say, Achat Amalchiot, Vachat Zichonot, Vachat Shofarot. Okay, now, this is the one thing that the Gemara is actually not going to cover. The Gemara that we're going to see is not going to cover. The idea that you have Zichronot, Malchiyot, Zichronot, and Shofarot, that's covered way back when in a different daf. It's actually covered a few dafim ago also, but also back on Tet Zayin Amud Bet. We also covered over there. We know that we have these three different categories on Rosh Hashanah of Malchiyot, Zichronot, and Shofarot. So Rashi is giving us the hint over here that when we talk about three over here, those are the three that we're talking about. He also tells us, Tkia Uchura Utkia, Lekol Achat Vachat. So you have three groups of three. Okay? So as I mentioned, Malchiyot, Zichronot, and Shofarot are not going to be covered over here. But what will be covered over here is the Tkia Chua Tkia set, because that is not yet clear. The Mishnah continues, Shi'ur Tkia Kishalosh Turot. Every single Tkia has to be the Shi'ur of three Turot. At least that's what it sounds like the Mishnah is saying. It's a little bit confusing. Shi'ur Tru'a Kishalosh Yevavot. And every Tru'a has to be three, what's called Yevavot. Rashi says, Kolot Ba'alma Kolshehu. So every Tru'a has to be the Shi'ur, the time, length of that Tru'a has to be like three Kolshehu Kolot. Okay? Takaba, now that's in terms of the Shi'urim. Nu halacha, takaba rishona, umashach bashnia, kishtayim, ein biado el achat. If you do a tkia at the end of a set, and you just make it extra long, so that it's the length of two tkiot, you might think that that will cover you for the first tkia of the next set. No, the Mishnah says, you have to have two distinct tkiot. You have the tkia at the end of the first set, and a tkia at the second set. If you didn't have a shofar, for whatever reason, for the whole of davening, you made all the brachot you were supposed to make, then someone gives you a shofar, all you have to do is blow tkiya 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 three times. That's it. Kishem Shashaliach Sibur Chayav, Kach Kol Yachid Vachir Chayav, Rabban Gamliel Omer Shaliach Sibur Matiyat Arabim Dechovatan. This takes us all the way to the end of the Masechta. This is talking about, it's talking about either the Amidah or about Tkiyat HaShofar. We're going to assume it's talking about the Amidah because that's what the context of the Gemara is. Whether every single person has to say the entire Amidah or it's good enough for just a Shaliach Tibur to say the Amidah, that's all the way on the last daf of the Masechta. Okay, that is the Mishnah. Before we get into the Gemara, who has questions? There should be questions, but hopefully the Gemara will answer most of them. What questions do we have?
Efo HaShvarim.
Efo HaShvarim. Yafeh. Efo HaShvarim. That's a good question. We love Shvarim. What happened to them? That's a good question, Arel. Any other questions? Okay, I think there's some unclear language over here. Like, for example, what does that even mean? Right? What does that sentence mean? Shiur tkiya kishalosh truot. We have to figure out what that means. Sorry, Matthew, did you say something?
Yeah, we'll say the yivavot. What exactly the kol shehu, you know, the...
Right.
Any type of sound is a yivavah. I don't know what that is.
Right.
It's like probably a minimum length of sound. Three minimum lengths of sound, or whatever that means, is a tru'ah.
Right, exactly. How long is that? That's a good point. Okay, so let's see. So the first thing that the Gemara asks is it asks about this language that I mentioned. It says, our Mishnah says, Shi'ur Tkia Kishalosh Turot. The problem is, there is a Braita, V'atanya, Shi'ur Tkia Kitru'a. It sounds like over here that the Shi'ur of a Tkia is one Tru'a. So which is it? Our Mishnah says it's three Turot, and this Braita says it's one Tru'a. How does that work? Amar Abaye, that's not a problem. It's just a matter of semantics. Tana didan, our Tana, Kachashiv Tkia Dekulu Bave. Utru'ot Dekulu Bave. Yeah, our Tana is talking, when he says Tru'ah, sorry, when he says Tkiah, he means all the Tkiot that we're going to do are like three Tru'ot. In other words, every Tkiah is like a Tru'ah. We do three Tkiot, and we do three Tru'ot. Utru'ot Gulu Babi Tana Bara, but the other Tana, the one in the Braita, Kachashiv Chad Baba Betulo. He's just talking about one single call. So you have a Tkiah and a Tru'ah, but they're really saying the same thing. Every Tkiah has to be as long as a Tru'ah. Okay, this is still getting a little bit confusing. Shi'ur tru'ah k'gimel yevavot, v'atanya shi'ur tru'ah k'shlosha shvarim. But wait a second. We have another braita. Here you go, Harel. Here are your shvarim. That a tkiah, is a tru'ah, sorry, is supposed to be like three shvarim. Meaning every tru'ah is like three shvarim. So shever is not the same thing as a yevavah. Because a shever is longer. Rashi says, shvarim arukim yivavot. A shever is kind of a, you know, there's a certain amount of time inside of a shever. Do, or do, whatever it is. It's a little bit of time. It's not like a single blast that takes just a second. So which one is it? Is it tru'ah like three shvarim? Or is it like three yivavot, kol shehu? So Amar Abaye, here indeed there is a machloket. Ba'avadei pligi, dichtiv yom tru'ah yeyalachem, umetargaminan yom yevavah yeheilachon, yom yevavah leheilachon. This Tana understands that when it says yom tru'ah, it means yom yevavah. This is the Tana of our Mishnah that says a tru'ah is a yevavah. And that's how the Targum translates this. And where's this story from? Uchtiv bi'imei de sisra, it gets this also from the story of Sisra, which we're going to return to later from Sefer Shoftim, when Sisra was waiting, when the mother of Sisra was waiting for him to come home, and he never does. Why doesn't he come home?
He's dead.
He was dead. He was killed by Dvorah and Barak, or sorry, he was killed by Yael. More accurately, he was killed in the war with Dvorah and Barak by Yael. So that's why he never makes it back. And his mother is crying. And over there, when it says that she's crying, Batiavev Em Sisra, that means that she was crying over there. That's the actual Lashon that's used over there. And so we borrow that. So that's the first Tana. He says, Yavava is a cry.
Question. Why have all sources for the length of the Tikiyar, the amount of the Trua, whatever, why of all sources are we looking at Sisra, who was not one of us, and he was a Rasha?
Yeah, that's we're looking at his mother more specifically. That's an excellent question.
She was not Tzaddik. She was not Tzaddiket either.
Well, I don't know her personally, but you're probably right. She certainly didn't raise a very good son, by our standards. But yes, you're right. Let's return to this later. It's not a question that the Gemara actually asks, surprisingly enough. So we'll return to it later when we get to the sources. That's a good question, Dad. So that's the first Tana. The first Tana who says that it's a Yevava, that's our Mishnah, that a Tru'ah is connected to Yevava. And the other opinion, Mar Savar, Genuchi Ganach. Omar Savar, they're actually arguing about how a person cries. One says that it's kind of a groan, which is longer, which is Genuchi Ganach. And Mar Savar, Yilule Yalil, which I think is onomatopoeic, right? La 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 yala, it's a very quick sound, right? Whereas genuche ganach, you can hear the groaning in there. So it depends. Was she crying in a slow way, or was she crying in a fast way? What was that, Matthew?
No, one sec. I just have to find my volume because my daughter wants to come in. I don't want to disturb you.
Okay.
Sorry, go on.
Fine. Okay, so that's the so Rashi says ke'adam hagoneach milibo kederach acholim shemarichin begnikotehen. That's a longer call, and yilu yelalil ke'adam haboche umekonein kolot k'tzarim smuchin zelazet. So there are two different ways of crying. And so that's how it's connected to the Tru'ah. It's either a Ginuchi Ganach or Yuli Yolil, and that depends, and that differentiates between the Shvarim and the Yevava, what we call Shvarim versus Tru'ah. Okay? So that's the difference between those two things. Now that we're past the Shiurim, we finally get to the Ikar idea of Shofar. Minayin, Tanu Rabbanan, Minayin Shava Shofar. How do we know that we blow a shofar in Rosh Hashanah? Now, this should be a non-starter, right? Everybody knows we blow a shofar in Rosh Hashanah. That's kind of the whole essence of Rosh Hashanah. So why is the Gemara even asking this question? Isn't it obvious that we blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah? Doesn't the Torah tell us that we blow a shofar in Rosh Hashanah?
It says Yom Shua.
Yeah, fair. So, Meir, where does the Torah say that we blow a shofar in Rosh Hashanah?
Never anywhere explicitly.
It never does, which is pretty amazing, right? If you get nothing from this Gemara, that's what we should get. The Torah never says anything about blowing a shofar on Rosh Hashanah, which is pretty amazing. So the Gemara says, Minayin Shava Shofar. How do we know that we blow a shofar on Rosh Hashanah? Talmud Lomar, V'havarta Shofar Tru'ah. Because it says in the Torah, it does say, V'havarta Shofar Tru'ah. The problem is, where does it say this? So you guys can see a little bit over here. V'avarta shofar tru'ah b'chodesh ha-shvi'i. Oh, that's pretty good. Rosh Hashanah is in the chodesh ha-shvi'i. Be'asor l'chodesh. B'yom ha-kippurim taviru shofar b'chol artechem. Except here it's talking about blowing a shofar on Yom Kippur. When do we blow a shofar on Yom Kippur? What is this, talking about the one that we blow after Havdalah?
Yovel.
Ah, yafeh. This is blown once every 50 years. On Yom Kippur, we blow a shofar. And that's what the Torah is describing. And from there, we learn that we blow a shofar in Rosh Hashanah. Pretty amazing. Anyways, Ein li ela b'yovel b'Rosh Hashanah minayin. Well, how do we know that what we blow the shofar on Yovel, that we're also supposed to blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah? I would have expected that the Torah would tell us to blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah directly instead of having us learn it from the fact that we do it on Yom Kippur of Yovel. Talmud Lomar b'chodesh ha-shvi'i. Shehein Talmud Lomar b'chodesh ha-shvi'i. Yimah Talmud Lomar b'chodesh ha-shvi'i. Sheyu kol tru'ot shel chodesh shvi'i ze kazeh. We learn that every time you have a tru'ah, see over here the word shofar tru'ah, every tru'ah in the chodesh ha-shvi'i is the same. So if the tru'ah of Yovel Yom Kippur that happens in chodesh ha-shvi'i is with a shofar, and it definitely is because the Torah says so, then the tru'ah that Meir referenced that happens on Rosh Hashanah, tru'ah is the word that's used for Rosh Hashanah, must also be a shofar. Now the question only comes from the fact that the word tru'ah just means a cry. It just means to cry out. So in theory, a tru'ah could have been done with our voice. Right? There's no doubt that there's a tru'ah on Rosh Hashanah. The only question is, what's the kli that does it? So it could have been our voice that cries out, or it could have been, I don't know, some other instrument. The fact that shofar tru'ah is used on Yom Kippur, that's what tells us that it has to be a shofar on Rosh Hashanah. So at least now we know we have to blow a shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Minayin shepshuta lefaneha. How do we know? We know that you have to have a tru'ah on Rosh Hashanah. That's all you know, because that's the only thing that's mentioned. How do you know you need a tkiyah beforehand? A pshuta. Talmud Lomar, v'havarta shofar tru'ah. Okay, we have this extra word, v'havarta, which is added in, which is again on Yom Kippur, right? V'havarta shofar tru'ah, that tells you that you need a pshuta lefaneha. U'mayin shepshuta l'achareha. How do you know that you need a tkiyah afterwards? Talmud Lomar, ta'aviru shofar. There's another ta'aviru afterwards. Not at the beginning over here, but over here. Ta'aviru shofar b'kol artzachem. That's extra. Okay, so that tells you you need a pshuta acharya. So now what did we get here? We got here, tru'ah, tkiyah, tru'ah, tkiyah. So far the Gemara has gotten us tkiyah, tru'ah, tkiyah. That's it. So if we stop here, then on Rosh Hashanah, we just blow three times, and we're done. So if Rabben David's going to come up with a plan of how we can shorten the davening, that's it right there. Just blow the shofar three times. Tkiyah, tru'ah, tkiyah, and everybody can relax. And you can chat during the rest of the davening because there's not going to be any more afterwards. And we don't have to make any announcements about people being quiet and everybody can be happy. But the Gemara continues. So the Gemara says, Ein li ela b'yovel. Okay, so the Gemara continues and it says, how do we know All we learn from here is that you have a tkiyat shurat tkiyah and yovel. How do we know that that extends to Rosh Hashanah? Minayin tam lomer b'chodesh hashvi'i. And once again, she'in tam lomer b'chodesh hashvi'i. Uma tam lomer b'chodesh hashvi'i. She'yu kol shurat ha'chodesh hashvi'i zeh kazeh. Same thing. That we learn that everything, the way that you blow the shofar on Yovel in Tishrei, has to be the same way that you blow it on Rosh Hashanah. Okay. Uminayin l'shalosh shal shalosh shalosh. All right, here we go. So three is not enough. You have to have three sets of three. How do we know that you need three sets of three? So I know what I told you before about the reason why we have three sets of three. And Rashi actually steps in and tells us, Uminayin dehanach pshuta lefaneu lacharea utshua beemtza avdinan tlata zimni. How do we know this is three times? The malchiot chada lezichronot chada leshofrot chada. Talmud lomar, how do we know? The avarta shofar shua, shabaton zichron shua, yom shua yelachem, because it says the word shua three times with regards to Rosh Hashanah. So that tells us that we have to have three times. Now, it doesn't tell us that each one of those is zichronot, shofrot, and malchiot. That we need another source for, which we have elsewhere. But it at least tells us that we need to do it three times. So now, how many times do we have to blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah according to this? Nine. You're doing a nine, right, Matthew? Okay. We blow the shofar nine times. Okay, nine times. So let's make a bracha. Do it nine times, and everybody can go home. That should be it. So over here, we're going to skip. After this, we're going to skip because there's an alternative given for this whole for these numbers. But the truth is that the main shita is what we just read. So that's really the answer for how we get to the nine. Now we got to get things a little bit more complicated. Where are we? Hold on. I am looking for Rabbi Abahu. Here. Okay. Atkin Rabbi Abahu. So down here. Atkin Rabbi Abahu b'Kesari tkiya shlosha shvarim tru'a tkiya. Rabbi Abahu came up with something new. He invented that in Kesaria, they would blow the shofar in the following way. Tkiya shvarim tru'a tkiya. He just made it up. Tashrat. What's going on over here?
The shlosha shvarim.
Yes, that's true. Well, yes, but that's what we call shvarim. Tkiya, shlosha shvarim, trua. And the trua is many truot, right? So he said you're going to do tkiya, and then shlosha shvarim, that's our shvarim, and then a trua, and then a tkiya, tashrat. So the Gemara says, where did he get this from? Manifshach, I yulu yalil, lavid kiya trua tkiya. Viginuchi ganach, lavid kiya shlosha shvarim, utkiya. I don't understand. We already knew that there was some dispute about how to do the trua. One opinion said it's genuchi ganach, which is our shvarim. One opinion said it's yuyule yalil, which is our trua. But at most, that will get you to do it twice, right? Just to be machmir, it would seem, if you want to do both of them, or at least those are two alternatives. But now Rabbi Abahu says that there's another option, which is to do both. You do shvarim and then trua. Where did he get this from? So the Gemara says, Mesabkalei ginuchi ganach, iyulu yalil. He wasn't sure. Is it this way or is it that way? So what did he do? He said, let's do it both ways. Now, what did Rabbi Abahu's Rosh Hashanah look like? That's what's not entirely clear over here. What did it exactly look like? Because it sounds like, according to the Gemara so far, if we just leave this alone, it sounds like in Kesari, Rabbi Abahu had them do just Tashrat. Because he said, I'm not sure if it's Shvarim. I'm not sure if it's Trua. So you know what we should do? We should just insert both of them in the middle of Tkiya and Shalom al Yisrael. So it would still be nine Tkiyot. Right? It would still be nine blows. If you count Shvarim and Trua as one. Okay? If you don't count them as one, then it would get up to 12. Okay, fine. But it would be at most 12.
Well, that's not necessarily a solution, because if one is right and the other one's wrong, then it's potentially a hefsek.
Right. So that's exactly what the Gemara says. Matkifla Rav Avira. What kind of question is matkifla? It's an attacking question based on what?
Logic.
Based on logic, exactly, which is what Meir was using. Meir didn't quote me a Mishnah or a Braita that says you can't do this. It's just logic. But maybe it really is a Yilule. It really is a Trua. And he just stuck a Shvarim in there that totally was Mafsik Bein the Tutkiot and the Trua and the Trua that was supposed to be in the middle. Dilma Yilule Hava, Vekamafsik Shlosh Shvarim Bein Trua the Tkiyot. The Hadar, so what was Rabbi Abba doing? So the answer is, no, not a problem. The Hadar, Avid Kia Chua Utkia. No, because he fixed that. Afterwards, he did a proper Tkia, Chua Tkia, which means he did at least two sets. He did Tashrat, and then he did Tarat. So what happened next? Matkifla Ravina. I honestly don't know why it has to be Ravina, and it couldn't be Rav Avira Odpam, or just somebody. Same question. V'dilma genuchi hava, but maybe it's really supposed to be shvarim. V'kamafsika trua bein shvarim l'tkiyah. And the problem is really that he's being mafsik with a trua in the middle of what was supposed to be a shvarim. D'hadar avid tashat. Ah. So what happened? What did Rabbi Abba really do in Caesarea? He apparently did three sets of three blows. And keep in mind, he did this three times, right? For Malchiot, Zichronot, and Shofrot. Each time he did Tashrat, Tkiyah Shvarim, Truat Tkiyah, Tashat, Tkiyah Shvarim, Tkiyah, and Tarat, Tkiyah, Truat Tkiyah. So if you count that, if you count the Shvarim, Truat, that's 27. If you count them as two, so then it gets up to 30. So That's already up to 30 blows. There you go, right there.
But don't you start a mafsik problem between the bracha and the blowing? If you do the wrong one first, right? You make the bracha, and then you do three sets of three different types of sets. If you get the wrong one done first, or even the wrong one second, then by the time you get the correct one, you've had a hefsek.
Okay, so that's an excellent question. We're going to get back to it in the sources, but Bekitsur, I would just say, listen, you're trying, right? You're trying to do it right. So you blow the show, you make the bracha, and then you do your best to try to get the mitzvah done right, right? Okay. If you make a mistake, then you make a mistake, but it's not your mistake. This is the only way we know how to do it. It reminds me of, I was going to mention this later, but I might as well mention it now. There's a famous question that apparently Rav Chaim of Brisk used to ask his Talmidim. Said, let's say you have an etrog that is mehudar, but might be pasul. And then you have an etrog that's quite ugly, but is definitely kasher. So you make the bracha, and then you pick up one of the etrogim, and you do it, and then you do the other one. So which one should you do first?
Kosher one.
You should do the kosher one first?
Yes, so, you only do the kosher one.
So Rav Chaim said, you think you should do the kosher one? He says, no, of course not. You should do the mehudar one first. Because if you do the kosher one first, then you were already yotze. So then when you pick up the mehudar one, what have you done? Yeah. Right? So he says, of course you should do the mehudar one first. That way, if the mehudar one is good, shalom al Yisrael. If the non-kosher, if the mehudar one is not kosher, then that's fine. You try it again with the kosher one. And Rav Chaim said that's fine. You're allowed to do that. Happens to be, this is a famous thing that Rav Chaim said. Rav Asher Weiss, in his inimitable way, he disagrees. So he challenged Rav Chaim. He says, who said that you can't extend the mitzvah with hidur? Let's say you pick up the first etrog because you want to make sure you get it done. So you pick up the first etrog and you do it in a kosher way. And then you say, but I'm not done. I'm still trying to do the mitzvah of lulav and etrog. And I want to do it with a mehudar one. So I'm doing it with the mehudar one. Who said that you can't extend it and say, this is also part of my mitzvah? So Rav Asher Weiss actually disagrees with Rav Chaim. I believe I'm telling that story correctly. I'm almost certain. It could be that it switched, but I'm nearly certain that that's the way it goes.
Why not do them together?
Two etrogim at the same time?
Yeah.
You can only do one. What is this? That's Baal Tosif. One etrog.
Not if one's pasul.
I don't know. Okay. I don't know. No, but I think the nature of the message is supposed to be able to hold it. And it's supposed to be only one etrog. Then you're going to, I don't know. I don't have a great answer, but it doesn't feel right.
But going back to the shofarot,
yeah.
If that works, doing your best in terms of the order of the sets, then that should work for Rabbi Avo also. So if he's not being mafsik, he's doing his best. He doesn't know which one to do, so he does both, and it shouldn't be mafsik either.
Okay. So that's a good question. Actually, the Gemara deals with that. But let's put it this way. Let me put it this way. We're going to return to this, but why did Rabbi Abo institute it this way at all? In other words, did he think legitimately that it was supposed to be both? What was he doing? How did this actually happen, that they weren't sure what to do? You know, so I want to return to this. We'll return to this when we examine Rabbi Abo a little bit later, but I think I have an answer to your question. But we'll return to it. But let's just finish. So what did he do? My itkun, here we go. So the Gemara asks one final question. Ihachi liavidami ipcha. Maybe we should do one final iteration, right? We did tkiya shvarim tkiya. We did tkiya churat tkiya. We did tkiya shvarim churat tkiya. What's the last thing we could do? What about tkiya churat shvarim tkiya? Ipcha tkiya churat shlosha shvarim tkiya. Why not about that? Dilma yalil v'ganach. Maybe it's yilulei first and then ginuchei. Stama de milta ki mitra be'inish milta bereisha ganach v'hadar yalil. So the Gemara says, no, the nature of the way that people cry is at first they groan, they do these slow cries, and then it turns quick. Then it becomes the quicker sobbing. Okay? That's the nature of the way that people cry. Nobody has any question about that. So Rabbi Abba says we're not going to go that far. Fine. Let's go on to the sources and take a look at what we've got. So we know how we got from one, well, from zero, from no shofars at all, because shofar is not mentioned in the Rosh Hashanah. Then we got to, there has to be at least a shofar tru'ah that has to happen at least once. Then we got to the idea that there has to be a tkiah beforehand and a tkiah afterwards. So then we got to three. Right, at least three shofar blows, that came from Ha'avarta and Havir and Ha'avarta, Taviru, sorry, and then we got to the idea that there has to be three sets of that because it says Tru'ah three times in Rosh Hashanah, and in parallel we know Malchiyot Zichronot and Shofarot. Then we got up to first, so that got us to nine. Then we got up to at least 27 because we have Rabbi Abba who inserted the idea that we need to cover all of our bases. We're not sure if a tru'ah is a shvarim, or if it's a tru'ah, or if it's both. So that got us all the way up to 27/30. Fine. How do we get any further than that? All right, because we all blow the shofar 100 times in shul. So how do we get past that? So first you have to go backwards to the Gemara on Tet Zayin Amud Aleph. So the Gemara says, Amar b'yatok, lama tokin b'Rosh Hashanah? Gemara says, lama tokin? Rachmana amar tiku. Who's Rachmana?
Hashem
in the Torah. In other words, Rahman is Hashem's voice in the Torah. Hashem said, blow the shofar. What do you mean, why blow the shofar? Now, the truth is that we've seen that it's not so simple that you'll be tokeh Rosh Hashanah, because Rahman didn't say tiku. He just said tariu, right? He said truah. He never said tiku, but fine. Ela lama merian. Why do we do merian? Merian Rachmana Zichron Shua. So at least that one is true. He did say Zichron Shua. Ela lama token umerian keshen yoshvin, the token umerian keshen omdin. Why do we blow the shofar both when we're sitting and when we're standing? Now it's not at all clear what this means, as we're going to see, but it seems to be saying that we blow when we're sitting and when we're standing, and one of those is unnecessary. So the Gemara's answer is Kedel Arbev HaSatan. It's to confuse the Satan. The Gemara knows no further with that. But it does say, "V'amar b'yitzchak kol shana she'in token la'batchila marin la'besofa." My time adalo yarbev b'satan. It's very important to confuse the satan. Fine. So here it seems that we learn that we need to blow more than the necessary blows. Now, what's this talking about? What is the more than the necessary blows? So for this, We can look at back at our Gemara, at Tosot.
So, Rav Dani, what was that? The long, it says, the law, Yareva Satan.
Any year that they don't do, the line was, any year that they don't do Tkiot Batchila, it's bad at the end of the year. Meri'in Laba Shofar. It's a play on words. It's bad at the end of the year. Any year that you don't do the Shofar, it's going to be
because
bad.
Because I didn't confuse the Satan.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. So I asked the famous question, how is it that I remember what we did with the shofar last year, but the Satan doesn't?
Yeah, so I wrote an article for the Rosh Hashanah Journal that hopes that tries to answer that question. I don't think we're going to cover that tonight, though. Although we could, maybe at the end. So, here, this is a long Tosfot. I'm trying to find the part that's relevant to us, if I remember. Okay, here we go. Here, V'achshav Noagin, where is it? I have it underlined in my Gemara, but not over here on the screen. V'achshav Noagin. Here. Okay. Starting from here. V'achshav Noagin litkoa b'yeshiva l'achar kriyat ha-Torah 30 kolot. So the Baalei Tosfot are writing over here that the minhag already existed in their time, that they would blow the shofar 30 times right after kriyat ha-Torah. Sound familiar? This is what we do. Before Musaf, we blow the shofar, right? After Kriyat HaTorah, we blow the shofar. What do we do? So he says, what do they do? Gimel Kashrak. So Kashrak is Tashrat, right? It's Tkiah. He took the Kuf because he wants to save the Taf. Actually, I don't know why he didn't use the Taf. Whatever. Tkiah Shraim, Churat Tkiah, and then three Shraims, and then three Churot. Ubatfilah Tokina Malchiot. Tashrak, so this is very interesting. Pay attention to what he wrote. He says, in Tfilah, we do, for Malchiot, we do Tashrat, and then for Zichronot, we do Tashat, and then for Shofrot, we do Tarat. Okay? So he separates those. Okay? That's what the Baalei Tosfot say that we're supposed to do. And he says that we do that by Tfilah. It's not clear if Tosfot is talking about in the middle, like the Minhag in many shuls, or if it's in the Chazarat Hashat. I'm inclined to believe that he's saying that you actually do it in the middle, because that's just what it sounds like. But notice that he's saying that you don't mix and match. You put the Tashrat in Malchiot, you put the Tashat in Zichronot, and the Tarat in Shofrot. Or I don't know.
We also got the Tashrat first, which we do last.
Do we?
Do we Tashrat last?
Let's find out. We'll find out. Lufum Sugya, the Kula Perkin. So take a look at what he says. Lufum Sugya, the Kula Perkin. He says, the way that the Gemara reads, "Aya ra'uy litko b'shat tefillah amalchiot tashrat tashat tarat," v'chein hazichron. Tosfot acknowledges, says, the truth is that it makes much more sense to mix them up, to meaning to do the varied blows each time. O la'achar tefillah kulu, or to do it after everything after tefillah. Aval kodem tefillah lo ashkechan kiditan mishaberach v'achar kach nitmana lo shofar. He says, but the truth is that we know where this comes from. It comes from the Gemara that we read. So in other words, Tosfos understands that this is talking about there's 30 kolot before the Shmoneh Esrei, right after Kriyat HaTorah, and then there's 30 kolot during or after the proper Shmoneh Esrei, which is corresponding to our minhag. Okay? Now this is how Tosfot reads this our Gemara in conjunction with the other words. Umiu lichor niyo litkoa betfilah kamochein amalchiot zichronet ashofrot kashrak tasha. Now he says it makes much more sense to mix and match. Kedei latzeit misafek to Rabbi Abahu, and then we get to this. So according to Tosfot, we got all the way to 60. Now you should know that this is the way that Tosfot reads the Gemara that says token ksheyu omdin v'token ksheyu yoshvin. That's not the way that everybody reads it. Some Rishonim say that it actually only gets us to 40. They say that it only means that we blow 10 times either before or after Shmoneh Esrei. So there are Rishonim that didn't have this as 60. We have it as 60. Is everybody with me? Everybody clear how this is 60? Okay, this gets us to 60. Uba'aruch pirei shayu osin kain shepirish be'erech arev dehalin demachmi ra'avi shloshin kediatfin Ushloshin Balachash Vishloshin Allah Seder Keneged Mea Payot. Interesting. So he says that there's 30 when we're sitting, that's kidiyatvin, Aramaic for sitting. Ushloshin belachash, so he says that you blow it during the Shmona Esrei itself. Okay? Like we did growing up, right, Dad? Like I did growing up? Yeah?
Yes, that's indeed.
During the tefillah. And then Shloshim al Haseder, Kenegan Mea Payot de Paya Ime de Sisra. Now there's something a little confusing about this, isn't there?
Isn't it all supposed to be like about Sisra?
Well, no, I mean he's the one who introduced this idea. Well, I'm thinking of something much more simple here. Do the math over here. He's only got 30, 30, and 30. He said at the end over here, Ushloshim al Haseder. So he had 30, 30, and 30.
Okay.
But it seems that one is 30 is Lav Dafka, I guess the last one, because he says, Keneged Mea Payot de Paya Ime de Sisra. The 100 cries that Sisra's mother did. We'll get back to that in a few minutes. Va'alein Asara. Here we go. Va'alein Asara Inun Kishagormin al Kot Fila. Kolt Kiei Di Chidai. He says you add on 10 at the end. Okay, you know what this is? This is what there's always a fight about in Shiftei every year. Actually, it's not really a fight anymore because we've already briefed everybody. Depending on what machzor you use, right? I think, Robbie, you just took out a machzor from the shelf, right? So in your machzor, what does it say you do at the end of davening after Shmona Esrei? How do you do the last 40? In your machzor, what does it say? What do you have, an art scroll or a Koran or a Rina Yisrael? What do you have?
Sure.
You have an article?
First of all, you're right. We did a Tashrat first, so I was wrong about that.
Yeah.
You're saying at the end, at the very end.
At the very end. So there's 40 that we do after Shmona Esrei. In the art school, I believe they're broken up between 30 and then another 10 all the way at the end. Am I correct?
In the middle of Kaddish, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. In the art school, it's like that, right?
Yeah.
What scroll do you do?
Hold on one second.
Yeah, the final 40 blocks. No, it's got them. It's got them before Kaddish.
It's got all 40 before Kaddish. All 40. I want you to count them right now. No, stop. Does it say that it's got all 40? Is there anything in Kaddish?
It says for the placement of these blocks, see facing page.
Oh, okay.
The whole long thing. So obviously they also had a.
Exactly.
Instead of 100 blocks,
exactly. So I just took out the Koren.
Some communities have the tradition to do it this way. Some traditions have to the other way. Most communities have the tradition to fight about it every year.
It doesn't say that in the art scroll.
In the Koren, if you look at page 208, in the middle of Kaddish, it says Tashrat, Tashat, Tarat, Tikiya Gedola.
Right. So, Mayor, if I'm not mistaken, and I'm going to have to check again, I believe we do all 40 at once. Or we're going to have to figure out again this year.
Yeah, I think we do all 40 in the middle of Kaddish.
Yeah. We have a sheet that tells us exactly what we do and specifically says do this way and not do it that way. But either way, if you look in the Aruch over here, so he says. Kishagormin called Fila called Kiyad de Chidai. So he seems to break it up. He says you do 30 after Kriyat HaTorah before Shmona Esrei, 30 during Shmona Esrei, and then 30 when you finish Shmona Esrei, and then 10 during the Kaddish at the end, or at least somewhere at the end. But that's different. Okay? Vehem Mea. Okay? Now, Rabbeinu Tam says, Val Minag Shalanu Hayatameh Rabbeinu Tam. The Kashrak Shalmachus, Rabbeinu Tam didn't like the minhag where they did Tashrat just from only Tashrat in Malchiot, only Tashat in Zichronot, and only Tarat in Shofarot. He said that makes no sense. He says it makes much more sense to break them all up and insert each one into each, which indeed is what it says in almost all of our machzorim. That's what we do, right? We always do Tashrat, Tashat, Tarat. So we always do. We never do only Tashrat, only Tashat, only Tarat. Okay? Now we'll go to the sheet. Okay, so that was based on this Gemara. So now what did we do? We started with 0, then we got to 1, then we got to 3, Then we got to 9. Then we got to 27/30. Then we got to 60. Then we got to 90 and 100. Okay? What does the Shulchan Aruch say? Machzir shalach shlich tzibur atfila v'token al seidu harbrachot v'malchiot tashrat pa'am achat v'zichron tashat v'shofar tarat. So you see that the Shulchan Aruch records the minog that was in the Balei Tosfot. But then he says, v'achshav nogim litkol v'malchiot tashrat shlosha pa'amim. Was actually, I'm sorry, even before that, the Shulchan Aruch, his original thing is that you do only one set of tashrat, then only one set of tashrat, and then only one set of tarat. So that's only 9, right? But then he says, we don't do that anymore. Now we do a set of 30 tashrat. Sorry, a set of, a set of 30 tashrat. Set of, is that it? What is it? Sorry, we do a set of 9. Sorry, set of 9 tashrat, 9 tashrat, and 9 tarat. And then the Rama says, v'yesh omim shetokin tashrat l'malchiyot pa'am achat, v'chem l'zikronot, v'chem l'shofrot, meaning you mix it up. You do tashrat, tashrat, tarat, which is what we do. V'chem aminag v'midinot elu. That's what we do. V'nag l'omar kol pa'am achat shetiku, ayom arat olam, areshet tzvatenu, v'afilu b'shabbat shein tokin omrim ayom arat olam, aval lo areshet. Okay, fine. So the Rama says our minog is not to do what the Shulchan Aruch does, but our minog is like a rinu tam. We mix it up. Okay. I have not looked in a Sfardi machzor. I assume that in a Eidut Mizrach machzor you would find that they do tashrat alone, then tashat alone, and then tarat alone. If anybody has an Eidut Mizrach sitter, I'd be interested. I assume that in Nusach Sfard, it's probably the way that we do it. I think. Yeah. Now the Mishnah Brura mentions, okay, v'chein ha-meninag b'medinot elu, u'bashla, l'shnei luchot ha-brit, katav ha-derech ha-mufchar l'itko ha-tashrat, tashat, tarat, l'malchiot, v'chein l'zichronot, v'chein l'shofrot, v'acharanem z'mirot, o tashrat, tashat, tarat, kedei l'ashlim ad mea kolot, u'mikol mokom v'mokom sh'no agin k'minago, ein l'shanotu. The Shla backs up the minhag of doing 100. Now, I want to return to this minhag of doing 100 and try to understand it a little better. What did Aruch say? He said that it's 100, right? Why is it 100 exactly?
Well, 100 cries of Sisera's mother.
Yeah, how do we know that Sisera's mother cried 100 times? Yeah, let's look it up. All right.
It says in the Tosfot.
It says in the Aruch. Sefer Shoftim. Eric Dalit, I believe. Sarah. This is Yael. Where is it? Oh, it's in Hay. No, where is it? Where is it? I'm not going to be able to find it, of course. Here we go. Ba'ad ha-chalon ishkafa v'tiavev em sisra ba'ad ha-eshnav madua bo shesh rikhbo lavo madua echaru pa'amei markuvotav. Does it say how many times she cried? No, it doesn't. So Rav Eliyahu Kitov, I'm not sure what the original source for this is, Rav Eliyahu Kitov in his Sefer Todah, so he explains, is because there are 101 letters in the lament as it's recorded in the Song of Dvorah, okay? So I think he's talking about this pasuk. I think. I didn't actually count. I meant to count, but I didn't. It doesn't look like 101. I'm not sure. I don't know if it's this. No, maybe it's this. It's probably this. I didn't count, but I'm guessing that this has 101. What's the problem?
We don't do 101.
We don't do 101. We do 100. So what happened? So he answers that the general answer is that the reason we do 100, Dad, the answer to your question, the reason we do 100 corresponding to the cries of Sisera's mother is that we are actually trying to nullify Sisera's mother's cries. In other words, there's some kind of kitruk, there's some kind of prosecution which is represented by Sisera's mother. She is crying out so that her son can defeat the forces of Bnei Israel. And we blow the shofar to nullify each cry of Sisera's mother. And apparently, there's one of those cries that we have no interest in nullifying, because that is the one cry which was simply a cry of a mother for her son. The rest of them are against Klal Yisrael. She's crying that he failed. But there's one in there that's legitimate cry that she's mamash just said about her son. And so that one, we have no interest in nullifying because we just leave it alone. That's not of any interest to us. So that's why it's only 100. There are apparently parallel minhagim. Rav Eliyahu Kitov records that in Sephardic communities, they actually do 101, which is the gematria of the word Michael. Okay, so they're interested in the Malach Michael, which is 101. And I also have over here, the Torah Shlema quotes a separate midrash that says that Sarai Menu cried 100 times to Akedat Yitzchak, which would obviously not be the Aruch's tradition, but an alternative reason for 100. Now, where is it? Oh, this is actually, okay, this is actually something for later. Let me put it at the bottom. Okay. So that's with regards to how we get from 0 to 100. But now I want to drill down a little bit into the history over here. History/lamdus and maybe some nafkaminas. This is a really exciting part, okay? So the truth is I've given this year before, but this is the most interesting part. What is Rabbi Abahu doing? What happened over here? The Torah says, blow the shofar. Let's say that the Torah says, blow the shofar Rosh Hashanah, okay? How many times does the Torah really want us to blow the shofar? Does it really want us to blow 100? If it wanted us to blow 100, it would have said blow 100. Does it want us to blow 30 times? 60? 9? How many times does it really want us to blow? Really? How many times does the Torah really want us to blow?
No, it's once.
Okay, but we said, no, it's not once because you need to have at least a tkiah before and a tkiah after. Okay, so is 3 enough?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if not once, then three is enough. We just don't know which 3.
No, 3 is still not enough, though. 3 is still not enough. Why is 3 not enough? Because it says tru'ah 3 times. So that means that you have to have at least 3 sets, right? Malchiyot, Zichronot, and Shofrot.
Okay.
So is 9 enough?
Perhaps the Torah is being imprecise about the number because it wants us to figure out for ourselves what the proper number would be for our communities.
Maybe, but we need to have an answer to this because let me pose it in a different way. Min HaTorah, how many blows do we have to actually do?
I would say 9. Just kind of 9. We knew exactly what a 12.
Robbie, you started with 1, and then I convinced you into 3, and then I got you up to 9. So if I jump this up to 18, would you agree with me?
I don't think so. I think I want to stick with 9.
Final answer.
I think if we knew exactly what the blasts were, we'd only have to do 9 because we know we have to do 1 before 1 after, so we get to 3.
Yeah,
9, I get it. But after that, we're judging because we don't know exactly what it is.
Yeah, so it sounds like there's something going on in terms of some kind of suffix. So the Rambam jumps in over here. The Rambam says, "Kama tkiot chayav adam lishma biyom tam shorosh hashana, teisha tkiot." All right, so it's a good thing you listen to me. Levish ne'amah, tshura biyovel, rosh hashana, shlosha pa'amim, v'chol tshura pshuta lefaneh, pshuta la'achareh. There you go. U'mipi ha'shma lamdu shekol tshurot shel chodesh shvi, echad hen, bein rosh hashana, bein biyom kippurim shel yovel. This is just establishing what the Gemara does. Very good. 9 blows. We just don't know what the Tru'ah is supposed to sound like. It's striking that we know what the Tkiah is supposed to sound like, but we don't know what the Tru'ah is supposed to sound like. Is it the very quick, short bursts of cries, or is it the slow groans? Maybe it's both. So let's just understand what the Rambam just said. What did the Rambam just say?
The Rambam said, Rabbi Avoy wasn't guessing. He thought that was the way you did a Tru'ah.
Yeah, exactly. So he's not guessing. He's not sure, but he's not guessing. And he's not besuffic. He's not doing it. It sounds like, well, he's doing it out of a suffic, but Rabbi Abahu says, this may actually legitimately be it, right?
He's not hedging. He thinks that that is what a tshuva is.
I think he is hedging, but he's hedging the often vadai. In other words, he's saying, I'm sure it's one of these three. So we're going to do all three of these, but we really have to do all three of these. Because I'm besafik if it's this one or if it's that one. Okay, is that fair? All right. That's the Rambam. Now, does anything bother us about this? Okay. All right. If you're cool with it, I'm cool with it. Not everybody's cool with it. The Chidush HaRitva says, V'nishal Rabbeinu Hai. Rabbeinu Hai is actually before the Rambam. Rabbeinu Hai gone. He says, V'chikodim Shabbat Rabbi Abao lo yatu Yisrael yidei tkiat shofar. What? Before Rabbi Abao, they never blew a shofar? They really had a suffix about what a tshuva was. That Abaye had already said that they definitely argued about whether it was a yulei or a genuche. Vein suffix shachra haita lehem b'davar. They for sure knew what it was supposed to be. Ki heach efsha she b'mitzvah kazu shahita b'kol shana lo yadu amitata v'lo ra'u elu la'elu ish mipi ish ad Moshe Rabbeinu eich haya noheg. How could it be that they forgot how to blow the shofar? They do it every year.
We forgot. I mean, we got it written down.
We forgot how we're supposed to do it.
We remember exactly how we did last year with it before Kaddish or after Kaddish.
Fine, but you know who doesn't forget? The people who blow the shofar. They're the ones who don't forget, right? So they know what the shofar is supposed to sound like. So what's the alternative? If it's not a suffix, what's the alternative?
It's a vada. It's a
machloket.
It's a machloket? Okay. How did the machloket develop? If it's not a suffix, how did the machloket develop? What did Moshe say to do? So he says, V'heshiv huzal, ki bavadei tshuva tara b'kol echad me'ilu bein b'genuchei bein b'yilulei, he says, the truth is, the Torah just says Tshu'ah. Both Ginuchei and both Yilulei, they're both fine. The truth is, they're both fine. In some communities, they did it with a Yavava. In some communities, they did it with a Yilala. And both of them were Yotze. Whatever people thought sounded more like a cry, that's what they did. Alright? So you had people in London, they were blowing one way, and the people in New York were blowing another way. And the rabbis in both places said, you know, that's how they do it in London, that's how they do it in New York, and everything is fine. But the Londoners, they said, those New Yorkers, they don't know what they're doing. The Hamonam, they said, these people, they don't know what they're doing. And the New Yorkers, they said, this is not how you blow the shofar, this is how you blow the shofar. It was getting ugly. He said, you know what? We're all going to do everything. So he instituted that in London, they're going to blow like they do in New York. In New York, they're going to blow like they do in London. And then he even did one more. He added another one just for fun, just so that we would have one that covers both, so that everybody would remember that they're both fine. This is a hard line in the Rav Haigon. It says, because it looks like a machloket, that's the way that the Torah, that the Gemara presents it, but that's not actually what happened.
Doesn't the Gemara say he was Hitkin Bekesaria?
Yeah. So that's where it started, that they would do
both. Right, but so that was, I mean, like, he instituted for his community, not that he went out as an evangelist and said, this is how we all have to blow today. It was happening in one place, that was his community.
It happened in one place, but then it spread because people thought, you know, this is a nice thing. This is united.
No, but the way he's presenting it is that he did it to tell the whole world, this is what you should do. As opposed to, he just did it because he thought that was the best thing.
Okay, yeah, that may be how it sounds. But you're right. The Gemara says Rabbi Abba did it in his town. And then what must have happened is that it got
you're just rolling it forward. Ravina and Rashi obviously considered it important enough to include it, because they don't say what happened in every town and every town. They say what happened in Caesarea.
Because he started it, yeah. Now, what's the ramifications? You can just do any one of these. So Oseh Oto Gimel Pa'amim, or b'kol siman pa'am achat v'yaseh achat d'malchiot v'achat d'zichronot v'ashlish d'shovrot v'kmo shenagu akshav b'tkiot shal seder brachot b'chol adam yotze gam etman hazeh b'tkiot shal seder brachot. You can do whatever you want. Now, guys, the tkiot, according to the, what's the difference between according to the Rambam and her Haigon? So according to the Rambam, going back to what I asked you before, Ravi, according to the Rambam, what is the appropriate number of how many shofarot you have, how many tkiot you have to blow?
None.
But if you wanted to really cover your bases, how many would you blow?
According to the Rambam?
Yeah.
I'll still say nine. I'll still say...
Well, what if you get the wrong nine? What if you get Shura wrong? If you want to get Shura correct, you have to do all of them. You have to do Shura, Shvarim, and Shvarim, Shura. So according to the Rambam, B'safek, we have to do everything.
Yeah, I'm with you. Right. So according to the Rambam, if we don't know, which we don't know, then you have to hedge.
The reason hedge, 30 is because you want to get it right.
Right.
According to Rav Haigon, do you have to do 30?
No.
Doing any nine would work.
Right.
You might even be able to mix and match. Maybe you could even do tkia shvarim tkia, tkia shvarim tkia, and tkia shvarim tkia, and that's it. You could just do nine of those like that. It may even work.
So why would Rabbeinu Haigon do more than nine?
Because that's what Rabbi Abahu instituted, because he wanted to make sure that everybody did what they did and what everybody else did. That's Rabbi Haigon's explanation.
But Rav Haigon is not saying it's not a hedge. Everything is fine. We're doing extra for people, not in case we got it wrong, but extra so that everybody can feel comfortable.
Exactly.
It seems there is a conflict between two opinions here. We had the opinion earlier that each community did what they felt was right, and then someone came along and said, you know what? Let's just make everybody happy and standardize it. And this way, everybody's happy. There's the conflict, I think.
That's what Rav Haigon says. So what the Rambam says, but that's what Rav Haigon says. There is one other position over here in the Ritva. He says, "Aval yeshomrim, tivad the other Rabbi Abba sfeika mamash havi." He says, "No, it really was a safek." So it sounds like the Rambam. Ubavad shebedorot rishonim nagu b'truah kamoshe ro lemoshe. And really, there was one truah. There was really one original truah, like the Rambam says. But then he says, it became batel. We lost track of it. But why? But for a different reason, not for the same reason that the Rambam mentions. The Rambam says that we lost track of it because of the galuyot, because we went from place to place and we just forgot. So the Ritva says no. Mm-hmm. It was actually on purpose. You know what? The Tru'ah in one generation is not the same as the Tru'ah in another generation. In one generation, a certain sound is a sad sound, and in another generation, it's a happy sound. Says it wasn't forgotten because we were in the Galuyot and we forgot how to do a Shua. No, it was a style thing. Rock and roll in one generation is just noise, and another generation is music, and then another generation rap is just disgusting sounds. And the classical music, every generation, there's a style. Edut music in Edut Mizrach sounds like, I don't know what it sounds like to Ashkenazim, and Ashkenazi music sounds terrible to Sephardi music, to Sephardi. So it's a style thing. So in one generation, a Shura might sound like this, and another generation, a Shura might sound like that. You could read the Ritva as saying, and this is the way the Torah intends it. The Torah didn't mean it would. It might be the Torah didn't mean to fossilize the sound of a truah the way it was 3,000 years ago. Maybe we cry differently than they did 3,000 years ago. In which case, the truah should sound different.
It's very progressive.
It's a very interesting approach. It's saying, look, the Torah just says truah, you have to cry. So if you cry this way, then cry that way. Okay, now, so what's the nafkamina? So here's one nafkamina. Rabbi, you said we do, well, you already corrected yourself, but you said we do tkiah, truah, tkiah first, right? So the Ramban deals with this. The Ramban says, what's the order? It says, hikdimu arishonim tashrat, v'achar kach tashat, v'achar kach tarat. Why? V'lo nagu b'rishon rishon, v'chol zeh b'kavana u'biyun. He says, this was done on purpose. It's not stam. It's not stam that it's tashrat, tashat, tarat. This devadai li'ikar adin alacha kamatnitim. The real alacha is like the Mishnah. Now, what did the Mishnah say? If you remember going back, the Mishnah said the truah is like our truah. It's kol shehu sounds. It's do 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 like that. The stam matnitin v'stam bright halacha k'stam matnitin. So the Ramban says, if you had to decide what was right and what was wrong, you would go in the following order. You would go Mishnah, Braita, Rabbi Abahu. The Mishnah says Tarat, the Braita says Tashat, and Rabbi Abahu said Tashrat. Okay? So what order we do? So remember the story that I told you about Rav Chaim before? V'im azinu tchila Tarat, kematnitin. Then it wouldn't be nice to do any more. Because it would be like we're saying, oh, the Mishnah says this, but maybe it's not right. In other words, the most respectful way to do it is to do Rabbi Abahu first and say, but maybe Rabbi Abahu is wrong, let's do like the Braita. But maybe the Braita is wrong, so let's do like the Mishnah. That's how the Ramban understands the order and how it came to be. Now, a couple of things. Number one, he seems to be siding. Well, actually, I'm not sure he's taking sides in the Rambam in the Rabbeinu Rav Chaim Rav Asher Weiss discussion. But he is saying that he seems to be saying that the most appropriate thing is to do the least valid, and then progress towards the most valid, which is exactly what Rabbi was suggesting. Makes no sense, but that's what he seems to be saying. And we're not worried about a bracha levatala because we're trying. We're doing the mitzvah. We're involved in the mitzvah. Okay? Now, between the Rambam and Rav Haigon, I want to suggest that there is a nafkamina here, right? Because according to Rav Haigon, there's no adifut. Right? There's no adifut. Nobody ever said that it was this one was better than that one. They were all valid, except maybe Tashrat. That Rabbi Abahu might have invented. But between Shvarim and Truah, nobody said one was more valid than the other. They're both equally valid, so it doesn't matter what order you do it in. According to the Rambam, it makes sense. According to the Rambam, if the point of this is to hedge and to try to get it right, then you want to do it in the order of what's most right. Okay? Now here's another nafkamina. Machzir shleich tzibur hatfila, this is the Shulchan Aruch. This is the same one we read before. Why did I bring it up again? I don't remember why I brought it up again. Okay, never mind. Let's go to the.
Is that the one you moved down below?
No, it was a different one.
Yeah.
No. Take a look at the Aruch HaShulchan, because the Aruch HaShulchan has an interesting take. So first he quotes the Rambam and the Rif. The Rambam and the Rif say, the Seder HaTkiyot Shal HaBrachot, the Malchiyot Tokin Tashrat, L'Zichronot Tashat, L'Shofar Tarat. That is what we just saw. Right? We saw in the Shulchan Aruch that many of the Rishonim, including the Rif and the Rambam, they break it up. They say that that in Malchiyot we do only Tashrat, in Zichronot we do only Tashat, and in Shofar we do only Tarat. And that's what Tosfot says, and that's what the Rush says. But many say, why do we align them like this? So the Rif says, ובדינו שיהיו תוקן על סדר הברכות, כמו שתקו בישיבה, על הכבל שכבר יצאו ידי חברות התקיעות, אין מטריכן על ציבריות מדי. The Rif says, it really makes no sense to do this, but the reason it's okay to do this is because we already were Yotzei. He says, in other words, you're right. The best way to do it is to mix and match. But because we were already Yotzei, right after Kriyat HaTorah, with the first 30, it doesn't matter. V'chein ha-minag b'kol ha-olam, u'b'shtei yeshivot, ad kan l'shon ha-fai. Okay. But he says, Rabbeinu Tam, as we said before, Rabbeinu Tam said, this is not the right thing to do. We should really do it according to the proper order. Now, why did I bring this up? Because over here, ubetam kadmonenu, eino maspik atam sheivenu ibnei tirchat tzibura. So the Rif had said that we only do one tashrat, one tarat, and one tashat. Why? Because we don't want to cause too much of a tirchat tzibura. We don't need to do it so many times. This is what I was talking to. Let me clarify. Remember before I said that when the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, when the Gemara in Tet Zayin said that we are token b'miyushav and token b'me'umad, we blow when we're sitting, we blow when we're standing. Remember I told you before that Tosot says we do 30 and 30, right? But the Rif and the Rambam and many others, they don't say that. They say we do 30 and then 10, 9/10. They say we do only one set of Tashrat, Tarat, Tashat. Why? Because the Rif says, because we don't want to do a Tircha Tzibura. We don't want to have to do another 30. And then people will have to wait around for so many blows. Forget about the 100. They obviously didn't do the 100. But the Aruch HaShulchan says, why? What's the big deal about waiting? Why didn't they want to do the whole thing? So he says, according to Rav Haigon, remember, I said this before. I suggested this before. That according to Rav Haigon, you could actually get away with doing Tashrat, Tarat, Tashat only once. Because they're all the same. They're all good, according to Rav Haigon. You could never get away with this, according to the Rambam, which makes it difficult to apply this to the Rambam. The Rambam shouldn't say this. But according to Rav Haigon, there's no problem with just doing it like this. You don't have to do a full set of Tashrat, a full set of Tarat, a full set of Tashat. Right? Now, this is not our minhag, but he suggests that that might make sense. Here's another nafkamina. The Shulchan Aruch says, Ime erich batkiach or nashal Tashrat. What happens if you're doing Tashrat and you do an extra long tkiah at the end? Keshir bet kiot. Kadesh talel shem tkiach or nashal Tashrat. As we said before, it only counts as one, so you have to do another one. But some say it doesn't even count for one. In other words, you have to go back, right? Now the Ramad jumps in and he says, the Ramad talks about this funny case. I don't know why anybody would do this. But he says, what happens if you get to the end of the Tashrat, okay, and you blow that tkiah, and you have in mind that this tkiah should count for one of the two sets. It should either be the last of the Tashrat, or it should be the first of the Tashrat. And in this way, you want to save, you want to conserve, all right? You don't have so much breath. It's Corona times. You don't want to run out of breath. So you want to get in between. So you do Tashrat, and in the last tkiah of Tashrat, you say, this is either the last one of Tashrat or the first one of Tashat. And then you take the one at the end of Tashat, and you say, this is either the last one of Tashat or is the first one of Tarat. And that way, you get to save at least one tkiah. Can you do that? So the Rama says, yes, you can. You can. Now, wait a second. How does this work?
Is that only if the last tkiah is double the length?
No, it doesn't have to be double the length because it's only counting as one. So he says, "Ritzon Olamar she'takat tashrat shel tashrat shvarim tura." You did tashrat shat. Okay, that's what you did. V'hitne b'tkiyah achrona shel tashrat she'im zeh aseidu hu nachon talel lo atkiyah b'shvilo v'im aseidu shel tashat hu nachon יעלה לו תקיעה בשבילו, כי הלא מדין התורה סגי בסדר אחד. The Mishnah Berurah just tipped his hand. According to whom is he following? Rak mibnei she'ein anu yodin, eiz ha-seder ha-nachon, anu tokin kulam. Who's he following? The Rambam. This works very nicely according to the Rambam. The Rambam would love this. He would say, this is a great idea. Why? Because I acknowledge, I know that you don't really need 30 kolot. Right? What do you really need? You really need only 9. But you have to do 30 because you have to be yotze all the shitot. But do you even really need 30? No, you could cut out one each out of each of them. Because I only need a tkiya at the beginning of my tru'ah and the end of my tru'ah. But which one is my tru'ah? I don't know. So let's cut out one between each one. I should do a tashrat, shat, rat. That's what I should do.
According to the opinion earlier about standardizing the tkiyot, if we allow the Baal Tokea to decide, well, this tekiah will apply to the, has the back of this end and the front of that end, we are no longer standardized.
Correct. The Rav Haigon would hate this. Rav Haigon would say, no, this is a terrible idea. What we should do is we should do a proper tekiah tshuva tekiah according to all the shitot, because that's the nice way of getting everybody involved, getting everybody inclusive. But the Rambam, he would say that this is a great idea. I like this idea. Because I acknowledge that there's only one true tru'ah. That should have been a good title. The one true tru'ah. There's only one. So I just have to make sure I have a legitimate way of getting out the one true tru'ah. And this is totally legitimate. Tashrat, shat, rat. In fact, maybe I'll mention to Rabbi Ben David, this is a good way of us shortening our shofar blows. But this also doesn't work for us because we also follow the minhag of doing 100. This is not going to help us if you want to do 100.
So you're doing it almost al tznai. You're saying that the tznai is that the mic tekiah counts for whichever one was the right one.
Yeah. So that's a whole other share about how al tznai works. But that's assuming that this works.
Does the dat of the kahal have anything to do with it? I mean, the Baal Tokea has his own mind of what he's doing. But me, when I'm listening, and I don't know necessarily the mindset of the Baal Tokea, does that have any bearing on this?
I don't think so. A person's mind should be, I'm yotze with the Baal Tokea. Whatever he does, I'm yotze. And that should be good enough. Whatever the Baal Tokea does, as long as he's doing the right thing, that should be fine. I'm trying to imagine a situation where I, as the Makri, tell him to blow, you know, another tkiya, and instead he blows a Sharim. And then he looks at me and says, no, it's okay. I had in mind that the last kia should be for one or the other. But either way, we'd have to get to 100, so it doesn't really help us. Now, I just want to end with one other position, an important position. This is the Zohar. And I really like this Zohar because I think that, I've learned so much Zohar that I know exactly how the Zohar works. But I did notice that there's an interesting pattern that you can see in the Zohar, that at least shows up twice over here, and I think it shows up in other places. According to both Rav Haigon and according to the Rambam, the institution of different forms of tru'ah was never the intention of the Torah, right? Maybe according to the Ritva it was, but according to the Rav Haigon and the Rambam, the Torah only meant for there to be one kind of tru'ah. The fact that it got proliferated was kind of just an accident of history. The Zohar disagrees. The Zohar says, Tanan, Umishpat Amo Yisrael Drayom Biyomo. Yom Biyomo, Yom Biyomo Maihu. This line, Mishpat Amo Yisrael Drayom Biyomo, what is that? It says, Hani Trey Yomin de Rosh Hashanah. Amai Trey Yomin. The Zohar says, why do we have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah? Now, who remembers the Gemara? Why do we have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, according to the Gemara Bavli?
Because by the time the messengers came all around, they didn't make it necessarily to each community within the first day.
That's one time we have 2 days of Pesach in Chutz La'aretz. But this is Rosh Hashanah, which is on the first day, and we also keep 2 days of Rosh Hashanah in Yerushalayim. So there was no problem with the messengers not getting out. So why do we have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah?
Because one day the messengers came late and they'd seen the new moon and they got confused in the Shir Shel Yom.
Yefeh. They got confused in the Shir Shel Yom. They said the wrong Shir Shel Yom. And then by Mincha time, okay, got all confused. They instituted on that time. We need to get Rosh Hashanah right. We need to say the right Shir. today, and therefore we're going to institute, we do two Rosh Hashanah. So in other words, it's a suffix, okay? It's a suffix, that's why we have 2 days. The Zohar says it was never a suffix. The Zohar says you need to have 2 days. Begin inun tre beidina de mitchabrin kechada. There are two kinds of din. There's dina ila'a, the iu kasha, v'dina tata'a, the iu rafya, v'travayu mishkachi. There are two kinds of din. There's the dina ila'a, the higher din, which is kasha, which is hard, and that there's the dina tata'a, which is rafe, which is loose or more soft, and they both exist. And the first day is a day of dina kasha, and the second day is a day of dina rafya. According to the Zohar, the Zohar takes this phenomenon that, according to the Gemara in Bavli, is a mistake, and the Zohar says, this was always going to be this way. It has to be this way. And it does the same thing for us. By the way, it criticizes the Bavliim. Va'da lo yadi hani Bavlai. The Bavliim, they just didn't know this. They didn't know this. But you know what else they didn't know? They didn't know Raza de Yavava v'yaliluta. They didn't know the secret of the Yavava and the Yaliluta. V'lo yadadi de travayu itztrichu. We need them both. Yaliluta de iu dina tkifa, tlat tvirin de iu dina rafya. Genuche ganach rafya inun, lo yadi v'avdin travayu v'anin yadin v'avdin travayu. The rabbis of the Zohar said that the truth is there was always going to be two truas. There was always going to be a trua and a shvarim. There had to be, because one of them corresponds to the dina rafya, and one of them corresponds to the dina kasha. We need them both. It's not a safek. It's not an accident. It's not this community does like this and this community does like that. It's not that it changes over history. There was always going to be a trua and a shvarim. So this is an alternative look at the minhag of having a shvarim and a trua. There was one last thing over here that I don't know if I meant to put this over here. This really belonged at the top, actually. So the Medrash Tanchuma says, why do we have 100 kolot? This is completely different. This is completely separate. This has to do with Parshat Tazria. Okay? When you get to the end of the days of Tara for a son or a daughter or a woman, Tavi keves ben shnato la'ola, lama hi mevia korban. Why did she bring a korban? Amro b'tenu me'ama, me'a pa'amim hi po'a b'sha'a she yoshevet al mashber. When she's in the process of labor, she cries out 100 times, tishim v'tish'a l'mita v'echad l'chayim. 99 times for death and 1 for life, keven sha'atzarot magiyot etzla, hinoder she'ena makeret isha od, l'kach hi mevia korban, sh'nemar tavi keves ben shnato. So there's 100 cries that she cries out. 99 times that she's going to die, and 1 time for the life. The Zohar apparently says that the Geula tiyab v'chinat yelad yulad lanu, that one day the Geula is going to be like tsar chavlei leida. It's going to be as difficult as birth. Valzed dan in Rosh Hashanah v'tokin b'shofar shel ayil v'omri malchiyot zichrona b'shofar la'ora kol zeh. The shofar blowing on Rosh Hashanah apparently is somehow connected to the Chevle Leida of the Geula. So the Shari Mitzvah Balacha Rav Broid from Brooklyn, so he said there's a connection here. There are 100 kolot that a woman cries out on the Mashber, and then the Chevle Leida of the Geula is connected to the Chevle Leida of a woman. And so we blow 100 blows on Rosh Hashanah, just like the 100 kolot that a woman on the mashber. So not like us, Em Sisra, and not like Sarah, Imenu, but rather like a woman giving birth. Now, what I think is fascinating about this is that you don't often see that the Rosh Hashanah is connected to the Geula. Right? That's not a connection we often make. That Rosh Hashanah is connected to the Geula, except that we do. The Tosfot on Tet Zayin that talks about how we're ma'arbev the Satan, right? Dad, you asked, why does the Satan fall for it every year? So the Gemara says, what is the Satan falling for? Tosfot says, what is the Irbuv HaSatan? The Irbuv HaSatan is that he thinks that the shofar that he's hearing is the shofar of the Geula. He thinks it's the shofar gadol of the future. And so when we blow the shofar this many times, when you blow it 100 times, that might be the Chevle Leida. This is the 100 times that we're blowing to be Ma'orer the Geula. So there's a chance that it's being ma'orah the gula, and that's what confuses the satan. All right. Shkoyach, everybody.
Thank you very much.
Shkoyach, excellent shir. And by the way, you had a comment in the WhatsApp group about whether we want to go away from the Daf Yomi. I will vote for going to the Inyane Deoma rather than the Daf Yomi.
Yeah, so
especially now that we're in Erevin, by the way.
Right. My thought was actually to give a new title to the shir, which is, what was it? Gemara in Our Lives or something like that. I don't remember exactly what it was, but yeah. Not necessarily. Well, the idea would be whatever is relevant.
A taste of Gemara, was that what it was called?
No. I wanted to do something like whatever is relevant at the present moment. So it could be that it's the Chag. It could be that something happened in the news, but to try to find some way to find the sugya and shas that connects to something going on at the moment.
That gets my vote.
Yeah. Because my concern was that with Daf Yomi is that some people are doing Daf Yomi, so it's kind of doubling it. Some people are not doing Daf Yomi, and the sugya might not be interesting. So, okay. That's what I'm thinking of doing. All right. Shkoyach, everybody.
Well, thank you very much.